Next on BYUSN, basketball back in the win column after beating Oklahoma State behind big performances from several players. But who was the MVP of the game? Plus, we discuss who or what is most sustainable from BYU's recent victory over the Cowboys moving forward.
ESPN's Sean Farnham on what's sustainable from last night. BYU at Utah. Does BYU need to win an extra game? And the latest proposed changes to the college football transfer portal window. Do we like it?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is a winning Wednesday, I should say. January 4th, 15th. I am Spencer Linton alongside... It's the 15th. It's the 15th, not the 14th, and it is a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
We're working on alliteration here. Winning Wednesday. We love all wins. And, Jerem, you love all types of uniform combinations, so why not add a few more potentials to the mix?
There is a Twitter account. I still call it Twitter. At BYU Tracker, which is actually from one of our students, Colson Coons, who does a great job. Mm-hmm. Every time BYU wins, he designs a new basketball jersey. So this is... basically Pink Panther.
Panther Cosmo?
Yeah, Pink Panther Cosmo dunking. Go back and look at the unis that he's designed. I'm like, can we do some of these for real? There's some really cool designs. So I love after every BYU win, the fact that BYU won, and two, the fact that Colson is coming up with cool new designs, some of which I want to see in the future.
So many talented people around
actually
us.
Actually used. Yeah.
How do you then put that design idea onto an actual product and make it happen, because we need to figure
it out. It's other people's jobs.
We need to figure that out.
Let's talk about the game.
Yes. And we're going to talk about the game today. Plenty to discuss, in fact. So rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Trevor Nell, left corner three. They go for three. Got it! Fans on their feet here at the Marriott Center. Kate Becada in the alley-oop throwdown.
Thanks, Cougar Nation, for showing out, baby. Let's go.
What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. BYU back on the winning track, at least for the moment. They snap a three-game losing skid and beat Oklahoma State 85-69 in the Marriott Center last night. After the game, head coach Kevin Young discussed how he thought the leadership of Dallin Hall and Yegor Demian were the difference in last night's win.
I thought we, stay composed for the most part. I thought Dallin and Yegor's leadership at that kind of dual point guard position was the difference. You know, I thought there was a key moment where Dallin's got us organized. I think Yegor's starting to figure out a little bit of these aggressive defenses and where he can pick his spot. So I thought their leadership in those moments was critical.
Jerem, there was a couple of huge three-point makes from Dallin Hall. There was the Yegor blitz where he just has like a 4 or 5 minute span where he's blocking shots and throwing incredible passes.
He
and turned
knocked
down a three.
Turned green for a minute.
Yes. Angry Yegor showed up. Trevin Nell was consistent, made 4 three-pointers. He continues to be BYU's best three-point shooter, and he looks good in that regard. So many different components and players played a significant role last night. So my question for you is, who do you think the MVP was as you assess BYU's most recent victory?
First half, it was Trevin Nell. He had 13 points. He was really controlling things.
He got BYU going early.
BYU goes up 27 with 3:23 left in the first half. Second half, Angry Yegor was the MVP of that half. 10 points in the second half, 3 assists to lead BYU. Ended up with 8, 5 rebounds as well. Had 3 turnovers. But, man, if I have to pick just one guy, it's hard because there was so much balance, so much goodness across the board. Kaba Kato almost has a double-double. Foo, 7 and 7. Dawson Baker had 8, not to mention Richie with 12. And lots of balance for these guys. I love the fact that more minutes went to vets in this. We're seeing that emphasis here as the two freshmen sort of try and figure it out. Yegor took a step forward. I thought Cannon actually took a step backwards. More on Cannon in a moment. But 30 minutes for Richie, 27 for Trevin, 28 for Dallin, and then Yegor Demian had 29. So 3 of the top 4 minutes guys were vets.
Yeah.
And I thought that was important as BYU tries to grind through a 3-game losing streak and figure it out. And they were supposed to win this game convincingly. Vegas said, hey, BYU by 15, and BYU won by 16. So that was good. I was encouraged and excited because we saw Dallin take a step forward, 14 points off the bench. Missed one shot, in the game from the free throw line.
You don't
four,
say.
4-4 from the field. Awesome. It's hard to be the guy and then come off the bench. It really is. But Dallin, luckily, the last two games have been really good. And then Yegor being good was too awesome, too. Because, like we said, both of them have to play well. Oklahoma State pressured BYU in a way that was Houston-like with less skill. And BYU handled it pretty well. Still turned the ball over 14 times. We're perfect.
Kevin Young wants 10, 12 max.
Yeah. But those two have to shoulder that load for the most part. And I thought they did a really good job. This was a great team win. They needed to play like this and feel this. Now they have some confidence going up to Utah that, hey, let's go on a little bit of a run here, stack some wins, and then we get into the tougher part of the schedule.
We're asking this question because it's not easy to answer because it was so balanced last night. The MVP was the team, right? But, hey, if you have to pick one, I'm going to lean on the guy who, when it got weird in the second half, stepped up and absolutely ripped that momentum back from Oklahoma State, and that is specifically Dallin Hall. I thought his leadership, once again, in a critical clutch moment, was paramount for BYU. Everybody was kind of freaking out. There was some real trepidation in the Marriott Center when that game got down to, what, 2 points? 30, when Oklahoma State was on a 22-2 run?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? Who do you need to step up in that moment? You go with your veteran leader. And Dallin Hall knocked down two back-to-back huge three-pointers, and all of a sudden it was like, okay, exhale. It's going to be all right. BYU's going to win this game, and he jump-started it once again. He wants to take that shot. People keep saying, like, well, who's the guy for BYU? Who wants to take the big shot? Who needs to be the alpha in that moment? Right now, I'm still leaning on Dallin Hall. I know he hasn't been great, and he's been coming back from it. That's because he's been coming back from a toe injury, and he's been in a new role, right? And he knows it. He talked to me about it last night. But he told me last night during the postgame, and you heard it too, I feel like I'm back. I feel like I'm fully back health-wise, and he's finding his role for this BYU team. So I'm going to lean on the guy who hit the big shots last night for BYU and give him the MVP nod. In fact, Dallin, I was talking about our conversation last night. He spoke to me about why he is feeling so confident in those critical moments.
I just trust in all the work that I've put in during the offseason season. So I trust in that in those moments. I trust in my teammates, my coaches. They've all been on me a lot the last couple weeks to be more aggressive. And so I feel like I started to step into that role a little bit tonight.
Does it really matter if he doesn't start, if he's playing starter minutes?
No.
It's the Jackson Robinson scenario for Dallin Hall this year.
It's just, can your ego take it? Some guys can't take it. Other guys can. I think that Dallin has done a nice job embracing this.
Yeah.
Certain, like, I don't think that Cannon Catchings took to it very well last night. He was obviously frustrated with whatever is going on. He's going through a little something. They lashed out with kind of some pushing and shoving. He's learning, as Kevin Young mentioned. And so I'm excited for him to kind of learn from this and move forward. Because BYU didn't get anything from Cannon Catchings last night. What if they do in big games? Then they're going to go to another level. To me, in all of this, like, Dallin Hall is your first sort of, like, hinge point of, like, how's this season going to go? And then the next, like, the one that takes you to another level is Cannon Catchings. If Cannon Catchings can be a guy that's, like, scoring 15 a game and good on the defensive end, now we're talking about a team that can make a run in March. And Kevin Young said something great about Cannon after the game relative to the frustration that was evident from Cannon in the game.
He's a little frustrated. Excuse me. He's a little frustrated, no question. You know, I think it's part of his growth. You know, it's, you know, going through adversity, I think, makes all of us stronger. You know, he's obviously you know, have some older guys that are stepping up a little bit, which is kind of took a little dent in his minutes. But, you know, he'll respond. You know, I was hoping that 3 and a corner was going to go down for him, but you saw the block he made down there. You know, I've said this a million times over, like, I just want Cannon to be the best version of himself come March. And sometimes, you know, just watching veteran guys ahead of you is what's needed. And I know he's a guy that's going to continue to work to, you know, earn his, you know, earn more minutes back.
If there had to be a game where he is not super involved and he kind of takes it out on in different ways, this was the perfect
game. This was the game.
The perfect game. All good. Flush it out. And now at Utah, get after it and contribute to the team in a different way. I didn't really like what I saw from him last night. But like Kevin Young said, hey, he's learning and hopefully he's better for it.
I believe this will motivate him in all of the right ways.
Yeah.
Hopefully. What has happened the last two games should, and I believe will, push Cannon to a level that's going to make him better. So I join you in that regard.
But like BYU could have a very good season without Cannon, but I think they could be special with him because he is a special talent. So BYU needs him to do something special.
His athleticism on this team is rare. It is unique. He is uniquely athletic on this specific team. I know Kay Bakeda is super long and athletic, and Dallin's really physical with the ball. Like, these guys have their strengths and their superpowers, but Cannon is the most athletic guy on the roster. With that size, my goodness.
Yeah, he's special in that regard. So BYU needs him. Loved what Yegor Demon brought, because obviously he's trying to get out of a little funk, and he was great. In fact, after the game at the press conference, he was asked about handling the pressure and kind of the outside noise and how that affects him.
To be honest, it's not that much pressure from outside as from myself. Just, you know, I just want to be, like, as effective as I can be for this team. I want to play my game, and I know how I can play.
He channeled it in a way that I'm hoping Cannon does. Does that make sense? Like, his frustration turned into sort of an effort. Mark Pope would always say, turn frustration into fight. Not literal fight, like shoving guys and getting flagrant ones and technicals. That's what happened with Cannon. But Yegor said, I'm going to get downhill. I'm going to get after it on defense. I'm going to break this press.
Something happened. Somebody pushed a button. Somebody flipped the switch because the Moscow asset was activated last night.
Is he the Red Guardian from Marvel?
Like, maybe.
I loved it. It was great. Give him a shield, man. Let's go. Yegor literally kind of got pushed into a defender kind of pushed him into Kaba, and it was awkward at the rim. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And at the free throw line, while Kaba was shooting, he kind of turned and chatted with the guy like, yo, what's up? What was that? And something happened. And whatever it was good because Yegor played with an edge.
More angry Yegor.
And I love Dallin Hall hyping him up.
Yes. He hit the three.
Yes. The monkey's off the back, as Kevin Young mentioned in the postgame too. So there was a lot of good stuff there, which was encouraging to see. BYU needed a game like that. And I'm glad it wasn't super smooth. I'm glad there was some resistance there. You had to fight out of.
Yes.
Because it's not going to be easy, even at home against a team that could be the worst team in the Big 12. You still need to figure things out.
This team needed to feel some pressure and work through some weird adversity, and they did.
Yep.
So now they have that experience. It's in the bag. It's like, okay, we've been here before. We're good. We relied on the veterans. The most important thing I believe BYU did last night was they figured out and took a couple of steps forward in what I believe is how the rotation is going to work, who plays well together on the floor, and who's complementing each other. Kevin Young figured some things out last night.
Everything,
and we'll see more of that.
Everything but the Cannon piece was pretty good. Yep.
Yes.
Again, we're going to just flush that one down, and hopefully he learns from it. And all right, exhale. You had that game. Now it's at Utah, which brings me to this. The good news is BYU won. Bad news is, that was probably the most winnable game on the schedule,
okay.
Period, right? BYU was supposed to win that game. So how sustainable is that performance moving forward?
I feel like it's fairly sustainable because you're not asking any one or even any two individuals to carry all of the load and shoulder all of the burden. It was just spread out. And it's not like BYU had these absurdly amazing numbers, right, in this 16-point win. I know Oklahoma State's not great. This is a bad Oklahoma State team. But BYU still needed to work through some of their own issues. And I like that so many different players are involved here because that, to me, feels like it is more sustainable in and of itself. If you can just spread out the burden of this. BYU shot 52% from the field. It's a good number. Anytime you're over 50%, great. But it's not crazy. BYU made threes on their home floor at a pretty decent clip, 43%, 12 of 28.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Compare that to the 4 of 23 they went against Texas Tech.
Woof.
Somewhere in the middle, okay? Make 8 threes a game. Awesome. BYU's going to win a lot of basketball games.
10.
Yes.
They're the best three-point making team in the league.
BYU still turned the ball over 14 times like we've discussed.
Yep.
That's something that you can really improve on. Like, get that down, that number down to 12 or fewer and value possession a little bit more. But as far as sustainability goes, great. I feel great about it because BYU is relying on the veterans. This is the formula, and it's going to stay in place. Like, as frustrating as the TCU game was, like, BYU took a few steps into learning that, okay, we need to rely more heavily on our vets for now.
And I think they played that well at the beginning. You have these talented NBA top 40 potential guys. Let's see what they can do. Now that they've sort of gone through a little bit of a slump, you can always turn to the vets because you know that they're going to give you something that they gave you last year, and they're a year older and wiser and whatnot. So, yeah, I think that was well played, and you live and you learn. Kevin Young after the game also said, hey, I look at turnovers and rebounds. Like, we need to limit turnovers, and we need to get rebounds.
They're a plus 12 in rebounding?
He said, I'm not that smart. Let's create more possessions than the other team and more shots. That's going to help us. So, that and the leadership element that we saw last night from the vets, I think that's sustainable.
Totally.
From game to game. Like, will Trevin Nell make three threes every game the rest of the game? No. But like, he can be a big piece for you. Dallin Hall and Foose and Mawit Mag as a transfer from Rutgers, who is a senior. He had an influence that didn't really show up in the box score that much. But, yeah, you need all those. And, again, once Cannon kind of figures it out, now it takes BYU up another level even more. I think, like, this BYU team can make the tourney, like, get Cannon in a place where he's contributing in a great way. Now you're talking about a special team in March.
This is a team that is capable of winning the next three games.
100%.
And making it four in a row and getting to 5-3 in league play.
They need to win at Utah. You need to beat Colorado on the road, and then you need to beat Cincinnati.
Who should you rely on?
Now you're 6-3, and you're like, whoa! You go into a tough spell where you can be 500-ish or a touch under, and you're on track.
So BYU, yeah. So BYU need to beat Baylor to get to 6-3.
Okay, 5-3.
But still, if you're 5-3 going into the Baylor game in Provo, and Baylor looks not nearly as tough as they were.
They're not as good as they were last year. And in Provo, I like BYU's chances.
You can build some momentum.
That'd be great.
Right? If you want, all road wins are so valuable in this conference, and they're all difficult. Even if they're at Utah and against Colorado, who are teams that are not winning a lot of games, this is where you need to be sustainable and rely on your veterans in those games. Continue to bring on the young guys, sprinkle them in, and like let them get right by the time we get to March.
Oh, by the way, Richie was good too.
Yes.
like 12 points.
He's doing his thing. BYU's leading scorer.
I don't need 26 from Richie consistently. Like,
well, you don't need it when you get 14 from Dallin and 18 from Trevin Nell.
Yeah.
Like, the balance is gold for BYU. It's gold.
Yeah, it's gold, Jerry.
Our question of the day. Who was the MVP in BYU's win over Oklahoma State last night?
I still don't know the answer to this question. I don't know.
At Toshalin19 on X answers, Dallin. His back-to-back threes came at a crucial time when Oklahoma State was getting too close for comfort. That spark seemed to finally awaken Yegor from hibernation and get him going again, too. Great rally for the win.
All the Russian things, the hype bear, yes. The Russian bear, the Red Guardian, the Moscow asset. All of them work for Yegor. Come on, man. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Okay, yesterday, former Cougar linebacker Kyle Whittingham, I'm the only one that would say that, had a press conference and was asked about Cameron Calhoun, who went to Alabama, Keanu Tanavasu, of course, came to BYU, and the role NIL played in their transferring.
The absolute overriding factor was NIL. There's no doubt about it, in my opinion. And Cam ended up at a school in the Southeast Conference, and he would have been battling for a starting job just like last year. He was in that rotation. And, you know, Keanu was a very good player for us last year, but they both felt that it made more sense to move on for their own reasons. But NIL is something that was certainly in the equation.
We've heard from Kyle. We've heard from Keanu himself. We've heard from Sean, his dad, on Twitter. What's your reaction to
that? I don't think that NIL is the clear overriding factor. I think that at the end of the soundbite, Coach Whittingham was making more sense when he said it is a factor. Certainly it's a factor. NIL is a factor in this day and age. But it's part of the package deal. Like, I don't look at even the Fano brothers who went from BYU to Utah and just think if NIL were in the mix, I wouldn't have been like, well, it's solely because of money. They wanted something else. They wanted a different coaching staff. They wanted a different culture, a different scene. And money is a big part of that now. I feel like it's just part of a package deal. Like, it's too simple. And frankly, it's irresponsible just to say, like, He's only going there for money, especially in the case of a guy like Tanuvasa or Cameron Calhoun. Like, I don't think it's just as simple as, well, that was the clear factor and the, like, the dominant reason that they were going. I think that that is lazy. That's a lazy take by any coach or any media personality that says it's that simple. No, it's not that simple. BYU's going to lose some guys, and they're going to get paid more and go other places.
Keenan Peely to Tennessee sticks out to me.
But did I think that Keenan Peely was going to Tennessee for the money? No. I knew it was part of it, but he wanted something else. They changed their minds.
And I tip the hat and say,
it's fine.
Best of luck.
It's fine.
I don't know why, like, people feel, it feels like programs and people are ashamed when they win recruiting battles in part, thanks to NIL. Why didn't BYU, why don't we celebrate when BYU gets a guy because the NIL was strong? We should celebrate it. And we've heard from Keanu saying he didn't even bring up NIL.
Exactly. He talked about the culture.
His personality, this coaching staff, and so on and so forth. Congratulations to BYU donors, you, the fans, the collectives, Royal Blue Collective, Kukanek. Everyone's doing great. Everyone's doing awesome. Recruiting's going great for BYU. We should celebrate it, not hide.
Yes.
Not be ashamed and not talk about it. BYU's doing great.
People are weaponizing money as the only reason that a place like BYU is getting guys. And
that's silly at this place, given the unique nature of the spirituality. 1,000,000%.
That's what I'm getting at. The package deal. But again, these guys that go different places, even that leave BYU. Shaylee Gonzalez did not leave for Texas because she wanted just more money. She got more money, certainly. She wanted a different scene, and she wanted to play for a different program and compete for a Final Four, and that gave her the best opportunity. And we were bummed, but we bid her farewell, and we wished her the best, and she was awesome. She did what was best for her. Package deal, Jerem. It's a package deal.
Yeah, it is. Check out BYU Basketball with Kevin Young coming up tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Big game at Utah State.
ESPN's Sean Farnham dares join the program once again next, this time after a BYU win. What does he think BYU is capable of in the next three games? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
The three-game losing streak is snapped.
You get into Big 12 play, and you have to play with a certain speed and physicality.
You have to win some games like that in this league.
Trevin Nell leads the way for BYU. Dallin was hyping Yegor up.
The balance, the offensive scoring power is really what sealed the deal at the end of the game.
That was awesome.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Off of a BYU win, it's about time we welcome in ESPN college basketball insider, analyst, expert, and certainly a friend of the program. He is Sean Farnham, who joins us over Zoom. Sean, I can't tell you how good it is to talk to you after a BYU victory. It's been a minute for the Cougars, but they got it done last night.
Yeah, I was told by Colton that if there was another loss for BYU, that I was never going to be welcome back on your show. They're looking to place the blame, and so I guess the blame was going to go on me. So thankfully for the Cougars, they were able to get that win, and thankfully for me, I get to come back on the show today. So it's a win-win, I think.
The good news is BYU snapped a streak. The bad news is you probably should have won convincingly against Oklahoma State at home, but let's highlight what was good, because we've certainly saw some things we hadn't seen in the last three games, which was shooting well from three and assist percentage up, and Yegor Demon got angry, and that kind of sparked him in a way that we hadn't seen in a minute. So what stuck out to you about the way BYU won that game?
Balance in the scoring, multiple guys getting 10 plus points. You know, the ball was moving. It wasn't sticking at all. They weren't forcing shots. The overall quality of the shot was good. I thought that was really important. And you know, look, there's going to be games where you don't shoot the ball well. We've seen that in the past, and we see that with every team in college basketball, by the way. Alabama didn't shoot the ball well last night at all on their home floor. They shot 1 of 9 from three in the second half. So I just think that for BYU, it's we've talked about this, guys. In the Big 12, it is not easy. Every team is going to go through this. Cincinnati, by the way, is a good team. I've seen Cincinnati. I've watched them with my own eyes. They are a good team. They had the lead against Kansas over the weekend, and they couldn't score in like the final 14 minutes of that game.
Crazy.
And the wheels just fell off, and they take a loss. But Cincinnati is a really good basketball team that's 0-4 in the Big 12. Now, you look at their upcoming schedule, there's opportunities to get right. And there's opportunities to get some wins. And all of a sudden, you get a couple wins, and things start to feel different. BYU is not that different. Like, BYU's entering a stretch right now where these next two road games are really must-win contests, if you think about it. You want to be a 10-10 in conference play. You got to win these two games because you got to get some get right games. You got to get some get back games from some of the games that have been dropped already. But it's not about the losses, because they're going to happen for almost every team in this conference. But how do you respond to those losses? How do you learn from those losses? And do you allow those losses to divide you in the locker room? Do you allow those losses to deviate from what coach is telling you to do, and it break off in your own individual island and go, no, I need to do this, or I need to do that, we as a team need to do this. We as a program need to do this. We as coaches need to do this. And I think that to me is the marking of a team that will find its way. And so the challenge for BYU right now is, okay, you went through three losses. You struggled and you beat an Oklahoma State team that you should have beat, and you pounded them well. Now what are you going to do with an upcoming schedule that potentially could give you four straight wins? And if you get four straight wins and you're 6-3, how does everybody feel about BYU basketball at that point in time? Probably a lot better. But that's how quick you can turn it around in a conference like the Big 12. There's other conferences you can't do that with. And last night in studio, Kevin Connors and I, we were going down a list of how many teams you think are getting in the NCAA tournament, right? And you start going through the conferences, and we started talking about like conference like an ACC. Well, the reality of it in the ACC is they have the same number of teams in the top 35 as the WCC. That's not good. And that's no disrespect to the WCC, but the ACC is so far behind the Big 12, the Big 10, and the SEC that you can't get good enough wins to improve your resume over the course of the season as it goes along. When you look at the Big 12 right now and where all these teams are in the net rankings, like almost every single road game is almost a quad one win. So you have the chance to really flip the script on what people think and how they perceive your team to be very quickly when you're playing in a league like the Big 12.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. Kevin Young said after the loss to TCU that he and the staff are still trying to figure out the right rotations and which guys complement each other the best when they're on the floor together. It seemed like BYU, to a degree, turned a corner in that regard last night. And the answer seems to be Kevin Young relying more on his veterans, Sean. So how do you feel about that approach for BYU moving forward?
Now, I've had multiple Big 12 coaches tell me this, and I believe it to be true. Freshmen cannot win in the Big 12 alone. Doesn't mean you can't play freshmen, but you've got to have your veterans and you got to lean on those guys, because it is a hard hat, lunch pail, get out of bed at 8 o'clock in the morning and get to work mentality, right? Like you are on site at 8 a.m. and you are working a 12-hour day. You're going back home. Every game feels that way because the pressure, the physicality of how these teams play. And you look across the conference overall. Look at the ages of all these teams. Look at all the top teams in the conference. Start going down and go, okay, how old are they? How old are they? How old are they? They're all old. What teams are really in this conference are really relying upon freshmen to make impacts? And the answer is none. It really is. I mean, it's none. Look at Houston. Like, they have Mercy Miller, who was a top 100 recruit last year. He's not even played. He got a DNP. Coach's DNP. So I think all of those things remain true, and I think that it's a smart move because this conference is built differently. And to kind of highlight that, I spent time with Tommy Lloyd over the weekend when I did the UCF-Arizona game. And I know this doesn't necessarily pertain directly to BYU, but I'm trying to give BYU fans perspective of, like, this conference. And I said, so, Tommy, tell me the difference. What's the difference between the Pac-12 and the Big 12? And he goes, first of all, the dudes. Every team's got dudes. He goes, there isn't a game where you don't walk into and go, that guy physically can impose himself on this game. Every roster has a guy. Even Baylor last night, Norchad Omier. Like, that guy's a dude. Like, yeah, Arizona won the game, and they're on a hot streak right now, But you still have to prepare because there's a guy on their team that's been there and done it before. And he's big and he's strong and he's physical. Like, you look at the elite teams in this conference defensively, how they make you feel them. I mean, every time you put the ball on the floor against Houston, you have two hands touching you. They're going to hit you on the hips and they're going to back up and then put, then they're going to show their palms to the officials and it doesn't get called. But it's what they do. And Kelvin Sampson's team, you know they're going to bring it every single possession. And Iowa State, same thing, how they turn you over, how they create offense off a turnover. Texas Tech, it's like going to the dentist without Novocaine and being like, can you remove this tooth? Like, it's hard and it wears on you. And I thought that Tommy Lloyd's insight on that was very true. And when you're a freshman, you don't know what that feels like. If you're Catchings and Demon, you're like, all right, well, like, this is just normal basketball, right? And then you get to conference play and you're like, this is not normal basketball. This feels different. The crowds are different. Everything about it is different. Every time I'm coming down the floor, I'm getting hit. My body is sore. I'm trying to recover. I've got a short window to get back and get ready. But yet the elder statement, they've been through it. They know it. You know, it's like when you play pickup game in high school, I don't know. I mean, Jerem was a stud in high school. So, like, I'm like sure that, like, you know, he probably dominated all the time. But Spencer, you and I, when we weren't very good, we would go to the outdoor pickup court.
Yeah.
And remember always that old guy that was on the court that, like, all the athletic guys that were younger are like, oh, I'm going to kick that guy's butt. And at the end of the game, that old dude's team won.
Had a knee brace.
He scored more points. Yes, and he had the bad knee brace, like the big old metal one.
Yep.
He probably had, like, elbow pads on at the same time.
Why are you wearing a mouthpiece, dude?
Yeah, but that guy won the game. And that's the Big 12. If you want to win the Big 12, you need the old dude in the park when you played pickup.
It feels like, and we've heard Kevin Young say this the last week or two, is, hey, the veterans have an important role in this team, a.k.a., hey, these two freshmen are struggling. And then you turn and you're reminded, oh, yeah, Dallin Hall, Trevin Nell, Foose, and the gang provide some real leadership and some real experience. And it's not like they haven't done it in this league. They were very good in this league last year. They were the 5 seed in the Big 12 tournament. What role did they play, to your point, of BYU trying to get in that top half of the league so they at least get a bye out of that first round game in the conference tournament?
Well, I think they play a massive role. And it's not just, first of all, you need consistency in production. You need to understand it. But they also need to be a calming influence when things go wrong over the course of a game. When you're on the road and you struggle and you start to turn the ball over, who's the one inside that locker room in that huddle at the free throw line that's going, hey, we're fine. Calm down. We've got this. Instead of maybe panicking or allowing that environment to overwhelm. I think that's equally as important. The message can't come from Kevin Young all the time. The best teams have leadership within the locker room and voices within the locker room that are able to calm their team. If it's the coach that's trying to do the calming, that's not good. Because, yes, that's his job, and he'll do that, and all coaches do. But if the message isn't received because the heart rate's elevated, the anxiety's been pushed a little bit, and you're looking at a deficit, I think that's where you start to struggle. I mean, go back to that game against TCU over the weekend on Saturday. The turnovers absolutely killed BYU.
Mm.
Killed them. And it was still a concern for me last night, to be honest with you. 14 turnovers is too high. Especially if you get into some possession games. Like last night doesn't really matter as much because Oklahoma State's struggling the way that they are and their roster is not as talented as other Big 12 rosters. But you go on the road to Utah, go on the road to Colorado. Yeah, those are two teams that aren't playing great basketball right now. But if you give them empty possessions at your end and you're giving them freebies to go score against an unsettled defense, well, that breaks your defense down. Now you got a deficit. Now, do you speed up more to try to get back into the game? Well, now you're out of rhythm. Teams that stay in rhythm, and this is where experience and older players usually help, is they allow you to stay in the rhythm of how you want to execute. Freshmen get nervous. Freshmen get sped up. Freshmen go, oh, my gosh, we're down by 8. Hold on, I'm going to make a great play here, and now we're going to be down by 5. Well, no, you just airballed a 3. Or you clanked one off the glass that didn't even hit iron, or you turned it over because you're trying to do too much off the bounce. Those are things that happen with freshmen. Older players like, hey, we're fine. We're down 8. That's 3 stops on our end of the floor, 2 3-pointers and a 2-point shot. We're good to go. And when you have a team like BYU that can shoot the ball that well, that's not crazy to think about. They go on those runs all the time. That's where the elder statesmen have to come in, and they have to be the voice. They have to be the voice out on the court when things are getting chaotic. And I think that's going to be the challenge and continue to be the challenge for this group as it moves forward.
Sean, let's finish with this. Right now, who are your five best teams in the Big 12 Conference?
Okay, well, without question, the best team in the Big 12 for me is Iowa State. I think Iowa State is outstanding. I think they're national championship good. I think Joshua Jefferson's addition to a lineup that has maybe the most complete backcourt in the country in Gilbert, Lipsy, and Jones. I mean, what a luxury to bring Jones off the bench. He goes for 26 at Texas Tech over the weekend. You know, I mean, like, they're that good. Now, they got a great game tonight against Kansas. That game is on ESPN2. You can check it out. Yours truly will be in studio. I know all of Cougar Nation will be watching. I appreciate your support. But I would definitely say them. I definitely think Houston is another team that we kind of wrote off early when they struggled in that tournament in Las Vegas, that the NIL tournament in Las Vegas. They didn't play well there. But I think that they're playing exactly the way that Kelvin Sampson wants them to. They've shortened up their bench, their rotation, and they look the part of a Houston team. They don't let you score. It's really hard to go against. I think Arizona's right there right now, guys. Like, here's another team, 4-5. Coming out of the non-con, they were the only team in the conference with a losing record. How fast did that change?
They've won 7 in a row.
They're 5-0 in conference play. They've won 7 in a row. Their defensive numbers are so much better because they're trusting each other more at the offensive end. They're moving the ball. They're moving the ball. Caleb Love is actually passing the ball, relocating, and then getting his shot there. And that higher quality of shot, again, allows you to set your defense and make things life much more difficult for your opponent. They absolutely drubbed Baylor last night. That was never even a contest in the McHale Center. I'll have them Saturday against Texas Tech, who's healthy and playing better as well right now. Then I would probably put Kansas in at number 4 in the conference. And then I want to go Texas Tech at 5. And part of the reason why I go Texas Tech at 5 is Tucker DeVries is injured, obviously, for West Virginia. He's out. It's a very different West Virginia team.
Certainly.
Without him in the lineup. And I'm not a believer after watching UCF play. I mean, I know Keyshawn Hall had a 40-piece last night on Arizona State. But they're too hot and cold, and their offense gets too stagnant, too reliant upon those guards making very difficult shots. And I think on the road that will be troublesome for UCF. So I would go Texas Tech as they continue to get healthier. But then after that, there's a collection of group, and I think BYU is in that group. Like, I don't believe in Baylor, especially with the size of their guards, that defensively that this is going to be an elite Baylor group this year. It's not. I don't think that TCU is a great Jamie Dixon team this year. I think they have their holes, their deficiencies. And BYU is kind of in that mix. So do they want to jump up into that group outside of it? Well, here's how you find out. Go win 2 on the road this week. Then come home and protect your home court and win those 4 straight games before you go to UCF and then have a little bit more of a difficult stretch with Arizona and everything after that. And you can sit there and start to go, all right, we've got confidence now. And confidence is, as Jerry West says, if you don't have confidence, you don't have anything. And in the game of basketball, you desperately need to feel confident, and you need to feel like your team is moving in the right direction. And there's an opportunity now that the losing streak has been snapped to have a couple of get rights and all of a sudden go on your own 5-game win streak in conference play overall, counting last night's game. And you'd feel much, much different than where you felt going into last night.
He is the great Sean Farnham of ESPN, college basketball connoisseur and expert analyst. Sean, great to talk to you. Can't wait to watch you tonight in studio, and can't wait to talk to you after another BYU win. I'm manifesting it.
Okay, I love the fact that you're manifesting it just as much as I can say that I love Jerem's hair today. I mean, it is on point. I mean, like, look at my hair without my hat. Like, it is awful. Like, I mean, I don't even know what I'm doing up here right now. But that kind of looks like Jerem a little bit when I kind of did that a little
yeah,
bit. Like,
yeah. Just quaff it over there.
I don't have the product that can do it.
Yeah,
like maybe like a little bit like that. Like, yeah, I don't know.
You're on your way. You're a company man as well with the attire. Thanks for the time, Sean.
All right, talk to you guys soon.
Okay, Sean Farnham back on the show. Always good to have him bring
it. Did they hand out the swag last night to him? Is that why he wore the sweatshirt and the hat? Is that what happened?
But look, he's a company guy. He's going to rock the company product. Yeah. Frankly, he rocked a shirt I gave to him when he was on the show last week.
Nice,
that said, I'm here for the Cougar Tales. Nice. Sean knows how to utilize swag.
Nice. That's awesome. $3.90 free. If you missed any of our interviews with guests like AJ DuBonsa, Sean Farnham, and others, Trevor Maddich, they're on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel or on BYUSN.com.
After the break, we look at the other games from around the Big 12. Sean referenced some of them. And look ahead to tonight's top 10 showdown between Iowa State and Kansas. This league is loaded. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headlines.
Men's basketball snapped a three-game losing streak by beating Oklahoma State 85-69 at the Marriott Center last night. 52% shooting, plus 12 margin in boards. Five Cougars in double figures, led by Trevin Nels, 18. Yegor Demon, 10 points, team-high 8 assists. Dallin Hall, 14 points off the bench. Cougars now 2-3 in Big 12 play, 11-5 overall. Up next, a road game at Utah Saturday night.
Some other notable scores from around the Big 12. Red-hot Arizona rolls past number 25 Baylor, 81-70. Texas Tech outlasting Kansas State, 61-57. And UCF wins a track meet at Arizona State, 95-89. Today's games include some doozies. Starting with number 9 Kansas at number 2 Iowa State. Holy cow, Sean Farnham. You mentioned it. He's going to be on the halftime report. He'll be in studio for ESPN. Huge game tonight. West Virginia at Houston. 17-point underdog, by the way, at Houston because they're missing DeVries. It just different wow. West Virginia team. Utah at TCU of note because BYU plays Utah on Saturdays. If you want to get a good look at the Utes, you can watch that game. And Cincinnati on the road at Colorado.
Potential changes may be coming to the college football transfer portal window. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports tweeted, AFCA head coaches are proposing to move the transfer portal to a 10-day window early January after bowl games with spring window eliminated, except for graduate transfers. More on this coming up in the next segment.
BYU baseball announces the hiring of Bryson Campbell as an assistant coach. Campbell comes to BYU after previous stops as an assistant coach at UC San Diego, as director of operations as well at Washington State. After the break, back to what Jerem was just talking about. The transfer portal continues to evolve. But do we like the latest proposed change? Why it could be potentially terrible? This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B, and we do so with some notable transfer portal news from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, who once again, as we reported last segment, tweeted the following. AFCA head coaches are proposing to move the transfer portal to a 10-day window in early January after bowl games, with spring window eliminated except for graduate transfers. So again, 10 days, all post-bowl game.
What is that? Is that after the national championship game?
Maybe. Too? It's a January 2nd to 12th, so 12th.
not
after the college football playoff games.
No, if you're in
games.
The, what, quarters, you're still playing? You're trying to get next year's roster while you're trying to win with this year's
That
game?
In and of itself is interesting, the 2nd to the 12th. But again, no spring window. But if you are playing in one of those games, would you maybe be granted an exception to get into
I think they
a late
right
spring
now.
Window it, with the rest of the graduate transfers? Maybe that, and it should happen
maybe
if
that's
they don't.
Part of it. There's only so much room in a tweet.
Point is, it's narrowing, Jerem, and the idea of taking away the spring window significantly limits a lot of players and now makes it kind of like this mad dash to make the decision in January or else.
Yeah, you don't see what happens in spring ball. So head coaches voted unanimously in favor of moving the portal window January 2nd through the 12th yesterday. The proposed window will now move to be voted on by the Football Oversight Committee. I don't mind that change, but I don't like the idea of no spring portal window. I think after spring, the opportunity needs to be there to transfer. All this will take is for a lawsuit, and then someone can undo this legislation, right?
So what if you go
All it takes is one dude winning a lawsuit in one state.
What if you go through spring football? Let's say you're a player and you have an idea of what your role is going to be on said team. You go all the way through spring football.
You don't like it.
And then you learn very quickly that, hey, new staff has come in and now I'm just mired down the depth chart or my skill set doesn't fit with the new scheme of the coaches. Like, it's just not going to be good for me here. Now all of a sudden you just can't, you don't have the opportunity to go. I don't like that. I feel like it handcuffs a lot of players potentially after spring ball.
I think, yes. And there needs to be some regulation. I'm not saying just anything goes. That's crazy. No. You have to put up a guardrail somewhere to have some sort of non-chaos, some organization here. I like the January 2nd through the 12th. That's fine. A little later, the December thing.
It's the December thing was wild.
And this isn't football signing day, National Letter of Intent Day, or that went away. It's called something else, whatever. But signing high school kids, that's not this, which still is December.
Apparently.
What? We're in the middle of bowl prep and we just finished regular season. Granted, you could just have a staff that just focuses on recruiting, right? And you have coaches weigh in, but and you recruit them for several years, so maybe it's not as big deal. But the portal is where you really upgrade the program. Like, you want your freshmen to come in and have an impact. They don't have as big an impact as these guys from the portal. That's where you really kind of change a team, right? BYU's hoping that next year their team isn't significantly different. Yes, they upgraded in certain spots with Keanu Tanavasa, and Andrew Gentry's a massive add, and Akina and Clegg off a mission and so on and so forth.
Carson Mattson.
Which is great, yeah.
Carson Ryan.
Yeah, Carson Ryan. And I was like, who? Wait, I didn't hear that one.
Carson Ryan.
What is it? But, yeah, it's exciting to see the influx of transfers that will have an impact on BYU. But, yeah, I agree. After the spring window, you need a window.
Something.
Open there. Like, if it – I don't know. I am for the spring window so that BYU can add prior to fall camp. And you don't have a ton of time to sort of get in there, right? But, yeah, I think a spring window would be good. Again,
it can be limited.
Someone, legislation could a lawsuit could do this, undo this again.
Yeah.
Like, you think there's order, just wait for, in the state of Michigan, so-and-so sued so, whatever. And then it's undone.
It could be limited, too. It doesn't have to be like this exorbitant amount of time where a player can hop in after the spring.
Well, it's just when you get in. You can come out whenever. Like, that window is that you have to get in the portal. It's not, you don't have to declare where you're going by January
12th. And it's not great if you're a player that has gone through spring ball and then realizes, because now you are in a time crunch and there aren't as many open spots potentially for you at other programs because they too have all gone through spring ball. And so it's not ideal for a player to have to hop in the portal at the end of spring ball or sometime in, you know, late March or April. But in those few instances, you just want the player to be able to find something that is going to be best for them. They are free agents. They can go what they want and do what they want to go and do what they want to do.
It doesn't work with that staff. And it's not just like player entitlement. It's coach entitlement that, well, now I'm buried on the depth chart. I felt like I didn't get a chance. I want a chance somewhere.
Listen, it happens at BYU. It happens at other programs. There are coaches that are doing players a favor and saying, okay, this is your role here. It's limited. If you want to play more and go and do this, then they and at times encourage players to go and hop in the portal because they want them to have better opportunity.
And it can be upsetting, like you thought you were going to be a certain person at a certain school and whatnot. Yeah, it's not like completely clean and mutual breakup, you know, rarely is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fascinating stuff. We'll see. Like you said, it hasn't gone all the way through.
Right.
We'll see. After the break, back to our question of the day and more basketball. Who do you think the MVP for BYU in the win over Oklahoma State was last night? Balanced effort, not easy to answer. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Who was the MVP in BYU's win over Oklahoma State last night? At Vid and Slish on X answers all the veterans. Dallin Hall, Trevin Nell, Richie Saunders, and Foosh Traore, they know what to do and how to win in these games.
They've done it. It's not like you're just saying, well, they're juniors, therefore they should do a certain something. No, they won in the Big 12 last year. They tied for fifth in this league. We wished BYU was tied for fifth in this league this year.
This year?
Which, by the way, looking at the standings, I think there's a decent shot that BYU should aim for, like, seventh is a possibility or eighth.
Seven or eight.
Yeah.
Just like, avoid one of the Big 12 tournament.
Get that bye. Be on the left side of the graphic. As we
Our call. Elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from at Dallin WBYU, who releases a picture of simply Trevin Nell with, like, what do we call these, superhero eyes?
Laser eyes?
You have been Trevin Nelled.
Okay, then.
Go to the meme. Do it. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
About little Whit Mag, first career start for BYU. A little tweak in the lineup. I like constant little tweaks, no matter how good things are going.
Yep, so absolutely. Our thanks to today's guest, Sean Farnham, and his ESPN swag.
Company man. Sorry to Dennis, ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Gary Trost. We'll see you tomorrow back here on BYU Sports Nation. Go Cougs.